Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
I want you to just take a moment and go with me, if you will, in the wonderful book of 1 Samuel. We're not going to go to 1 Samuel. We're actually going to go. 1 Samuel is a big book, so it's easy for you to find. Then right in front of 1 Samuel is a little book of Ruth. And I want you to go there with me because I want to share some truths out of the Word of God. And today we're going to be talking about a subject that I think is really important for all of us. It's called choosing life's paths. You know, you and I are going to choose a path one way or the other. If you did, stop thinking about it just for a moment. If you did nothing but sit in your bed for the rest of your life, you made a choice and that's your path. Somewhere along the line, you and I have got to get the concept that there's paths that we follow. If you follow the wrong path, you're going to end up in the wrong place. If you follow the right path of life, you're going to end up in the right place. And I know that every one of us that are in here want to follow the right path. And oftentimes we say, God, what would you have for me? Where would you have me to go? What would you have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to say? What would you have me to be? Father, show me what to do and I'll just do it. We say that over and over again. And as we say that, we've got this giant book inside of our car or sitting on our mantle or next to our bed or on our lap. And we don't realize that this is the, if you will, map on how to find the right path in life. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, God's trying to say something to you and to me. That there is a path that you will follow, and if you follow it correctly, you're going to get blessed. If you do not follow it correctly, even though you are a Christian, you will find yourself miserable, down, out, discouraged, frustrated about life. Has anybody ever known people that are Christians and you wonder when they leave them, wow, if they're Christians, I don't know what it's like because they're a mess. Well, the purpose with that and the reason for that is they just didn't follow the right path. There's a path outlined in the scripture for you and I to follow. And tonight, choosing that right path is very important for us. So I had you go, if you will, to a little book called Ruth. When you get to Ruth, it's so fascinating because this is a story about a young Moabite woman, not an Israelite, not a Jewish woman, not a Hebrew woman, but a Moabite woman. It's kind of fascinating that you find something other than Israel, something other than from the Jewish faith in the scripture. You ought to really pay attention when you see this, that God thought so much of her that he actually has this book in the scripture that is anointed by God to give us insight. I think the insight that we're going to draw from is the insight of finding out what the path is all about. And we'll see by her life the things that literally wake up God to the place where God gives her a special attention, and you'll find that God does some great things. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to live my life out, I would really love to catch the attention of God in areas of my life. And I found in Scripture there are certain people that have done certain things, and they really catch the attention of God. David was one, as an example, when he fought the bear and the lion on the hills of Judea. All of a sudden, you know, here he's faced with this giant. Don't think for a moment as he's standing boldly before the giant that God isn't looking and saying, look at this guy. He is a real pistol. He really caught the attention of God. Don't think for a moment that Paul and Peter, James and John didn't catch the attention of God. And in turn, they, if you will, got blessed. I want to catch the attention of God like Ruth, for an example. Let me tell you the story, and then we'll go to the scriptures. Is that all right? Because it's really a fascinating story. We sang part of it in a song tonight, but it's more than just a song, if you will. The book of Ruth describes a family, much like your family. A husband, a wife, two sons, and they're in the land, if you will, of Judah, in the land, if you will, of Bethlehem. You know the name Bethlehem and where that's from. And there's a famine in the land. Now, the word famine is an unusual word for us. We don't understand the word famine very much in America. The word famine means that there's no rain in the land and there's no crops. And basically what it simply means is there's no food. And people are going hungry. We don't see that very often in your lifetime or my lifetime in America. We've pretty much eradicated that, taken care of that issue, but there's a famine in the land. And they're not getting food that the family needs, so they decide to leave Bethlehem and go somewhere. They go to a place where it's the Moabs are, and there they find that the Moab tribe happens to be one that is blessed by God. And the reason they're blessed by God, the scripture tells us, is because they have bread on their table. We fight so many battles, don't we? Our cars, our, you know, techie phones, our television doesn't work, our cable system. We fight all kinds of different battles. Their battle was just to put bread on the table. So because of the famine in the land, they moved to this area that's new to them with their two boys. And they're there for years. The two boys marry two Moabite women. It's kind of fascinating. Here they are married to these two non-Jewish, if you will, women. And the husband of all of these, this little group of people now, the two sons, the wife, the husband himself, he gets sick and he dies. And then shortly after him dying, you'll find both of the sons dying. The wife of the father that died, his name's Naomi. And she finds herself devastated because listen to what went on in her life. Her husband died. Her two sons died. She's in a strange land with two daughter-in-laws that are not even of the same faith as hers. And she decides she doesn't know anything else to do but go back to her own land. And when she goes back to her own land, she calls her daughter-in-laws in and she says, listen, I want you to know there's no hope for you whatsoever. Where I'm going, there's no men for you. Nobody will marry you. It's against the traditions. Nobody will have anything to do with you at all. No one will take care of you. No one will provide for you. No one will give you a job. You won't have anything. The only hope for you ladies is to go back to your own people. That's the only hope. If you go with me, you'll starve out. You won't make it at all. And one of the daughter-in-laws hugs the mother-in-law, leaves, and goes off to her own daughter. But there's this one lady, the one daughter-in-law by the name of Ruth. She hugs, if you will, Naomi, and she won't let her go. And she makes a statement, and it's a brilliant statement. It's a statement, my friend, that catches the heart and eye and attention of God. Because in this statement was a path she was ready to follow that would change her entire direction. Wow, an amazing truth. If you have your Bible, go with me in the first chapter of Ruth, the 16th verse, and I'll read as, if you will, Ruth is talking to Naomi, her mother-in-law, and she makes this statement in verse 16. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you. I love this because the word entreat me is like, listen, tell me not to leave you. Don't tell me to leave you. Don't tell me to go. It's like, encourage me to stay with you. She's got an attitude about her. She doesn't want to go back to her own people. She wants to stay with Naomi. Not to leave you, nor to turn back from following after you, she makes this statement. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. That is one of the most important scriptures in the Bible. Your God will be my God. What a commitment. What a heart. What a woman who is making the choice for the right path for her future. And she comes along and she makes this statement. She says in verse 17, where you die, listen to the commitment, I will die. And where you'll be buried, the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Oh my goodness, what a commitment. This commitment to her mother-in-law caught the heart of God. And as you know the story, most of you know the story. She goes back to the land There she meets one of the relatives of Naomi. His name is Boaz, and Boaz is very wealthy. She gets married, and she has Boaz taking care of her as a very rich and wealthy woman. Would have never happened if she didn't put her life on the line, making the right choice to go in the right direction and follow the right kind of a path. What you choose, listen closely to me, will determine where you go. Where you go will determine what you'll be. What you'll be determines what you'll have, and what you have will determine the outcome of your life. And God is interested in putting a story like that in Scripture so that we can see some truths about this woman, Ruth, that all of us could grow from, all of us could learn from. This is not just a Sunday school message. This is a message that tells us about where we're at in our relationship with God. Here's, quite frankly, if I can just say it like this, if you follow God, you're on the right path. If you do not follow God, you're on the wrong path, and you're on a path that'll lead you eventually to destruction. And you may be a Christian, you may go to heaven, but I tell you what, your life will be like hell here on this earth. And somebody needs to love you enough to tell you the truth. This is here for a reason, so that you and I can choose life's paths. Now, it's not going to tell you everything, but there's some basic truths here, again, that catches the heart of God, catches the eye of God, that puts her in the right place at the right time in order for her to get blessed. First thing, let's take a look at, if we will, there's three things that I want to share with you tonight that'll help you and I both together as we live out life that we need to look for when we're choosing a path in life. Number one, we need a path to look for is this, and I love this. Number one, you got to, and I love this word, wise choices are a wise choice. There's two types of choices you'll have in every area, every day, every week, every month, every year of your life. You will be making a choice about something that has to do with your direction and where you're going and what you're doing. Every day, after you've made your direction, after you've got solid in where you're going, after you're doing what you know to do, going where you know to go, you're still gonna have to make choices in your life to get you certain places, certain times, all the time. It never, never stops. And those choices have got to be seasoned by wisdom. And I've said it to you before many times, there's two types of choices you can make. You can choose the wisdom of the world, or you can choose the wisdom of God. When you choose the wisdom of God, man, it takes faith, because it oftentimes isn't the wisdom and isn't the wisdom of human beings. It doesn't logically figure out. It doesn't calculate. It's one of those, if you will, crazy things that you're doing that everybody's going to say to you, you're nuts. Why are you doing it that way? But the right choice is the choice when God's in it. And that's what you and I have to see. And that's what she made. I mean, you stop and think about her life for an example. Here she is confronted with total and complete annihilation. There was no hope for her future. There was no man going to come along in our society and marry her. There's nobody going to provide for her. There's nobody going to protect her. There's nobody going to do anything but use her up and throw her away. She had absolutely no hope. The only hope she had was to go back to her own people. And yet she went against her own logic. And she follows her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to a land with a heart full of commitment. And God sees that, and God's impressed with it. And God opens up doors that no man can open and closes doors no man can close. So her practical thinking was thrown out. Her logic was thrown out. And all of a sudden now she's looking for something different than practical thinking. She's not gathering data, coming to a conclusion, and making the right choice based on her feelings or her logic. She's now going to make the right choice based on her heart and leading of the things of God. And when she does that, wow, it just shows so much about her character. In Psalms 119, verse number 30, it says these words, the psalmist writes, I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgment I have laid before me. And for all of us, we're going to have to choose, if you want wise choices, the way of truth. What does God say? It may not fit with my feelings. It may not fit with my logic. It may not be calculated out in life's picture plans. It's not something I can really put a 2 + 2 = 4 in. But what does God say? And how does God have me to operate? Because that's the choice I need. Because when I follow God, I'm on the right path. And if I'm not following God, I'm not on the right path. My friends, God needs a people who will simply follow him. I remember years ago, I had a friend that came to me. I, in fact, married him and his wife in our living room. I'll never forget it. They were so broke. They both, the wedding dress was white corduroy pants. They both wore matching white corduroy pants in the living room about 30 some odd years ago in our living room. They didn't have money to rent the church. They didn't have money for anything. They were completely 100% broke, but they were in love and wanted to get married. I'll never forget the story. We married them and sent them off. Never thought much about it, but their commitment to God was unusual. They were very unusual because the usual do what's common and normal in their thinking, do what's logical in their direction, path finding. But the unusual with God is somebody who's gonna, like almost like crazy, follow God, even though it doesn't make sense. And I'll never forget it. After a few months, maybe 5 or 6, 8 months, he came into my office and he says, Pastor, I need to counsel with you. And I said, okay, what's the problem? He said, it's simple as this. He said, and this was when I was in Lake Arrowhead. He said these words. He said, I'm a drywaller, as you know. And he says, I cannot bid against other drywall companies. They cheat. They lie. They use different products. They say they're going to do something and they don't do it so they can lower their price and get the work. But when I bid this the right way, I bid a job, I don't get the job because I'm telling the truth. They get the job because they're liars and it never pans out. But I don't know what to do. I'm going broke. And you know I've been broke since the beginning. What should I do? And I really felt bad for him. I didn't know what, as a young pastor, what to tell him. And I told him, I said, listen, I know one thing for sure. When you serve God, God will come through for you. And I said to him, I said, you have got to continue being righteous and honest. And I said, I know you look at the logic of it, and that says, that spells big words, bankruptcy. But I want you to know that God will make a way. And I'll never forget, some 6 months later, he came back and he said, Pastor, I'm so busy, I don't know what to do. I said, how did that happen? He says, here's what took place. He says, I held to truth and everybody else started failing. He says, God shut every drywaller down from Wrightwood to Big Bear. I'm the only one left. And if anybody wants on the mountain drywall, they're gonna have to come to me and I give them a fair price and I'm making a lot of money. That year, within 1 year, he built the house. I sold him the land. It was my land. I sold it to him. And I know what he paid for the land, and he paid $300,000 cash for a house. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean anything 30 years ago. That's a lot of money 30 years ago. That would be like translated in your thinking, $1.5 million cash today. And he paid cash for that house because why? He had so much work, he didn't know what he was doing because he stuck not to the logic, but he stuck and took the right path of the things of God. And God is always looking for a people who will come along and make the right, godly, wise choices. The wise choice is when God is involved in it. In Luke, the 10th chapter, at the end of the chapter, verse number 42, before I put it up on the overhead, I'll tell you the little story so you can get the scenario, if you will. Wise choices we're talking about. This is the story of Mary and Martha. Jesus comes, if you will, to Martha's house, and he's going to eat there, and he starts to teach. Mary sits at his feet to get the word of God and to hear what she has to say, but Martha is waiting on everybody. She's cooking, she's doing all the pickup, cleaning, she's doing all the work, and she gets so frustrated that she goes to Jesus and she says, Jesus, don't you care that my sister Mary is listening to you and not helping me? Would you tell her to get off her duff and help me? And Jesus looked at her, and his answer was in verse 42. Let me pop it up for you. It's an interesting answer. He says, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, because she chose the things of God, not just to do the work, but the things of God, which will not be taken away from her. You and I tonight can choose the good part. The good part is when God's involved in it. And that's what, if you will, that you will find with Ruth that made her so unusual. She chose what was right and followed God in doing it. The second thing we see in the life of Ruth, which is amazing, is we see the word commitment. If we're going to have a path to look for, let's look for a commitment. And by the way, may I say this to you? A commitment on your part means I am committed to something. I'm not going backwards. I'm not going to leave it after a while. I'm committed to it. And without that, we find ourselves failing without real commitment. Stop and think about it. If a husband and a wife aren't committed to each other, it won't be long before all of their, if you will, issues will come up and be big enough that drives the other one absolutely nuts. We've got to be committed to the relationship with Jesus Christ. And she was so committed to her mother-in-law that she makes a statement like this in verse 17. If you could pop up just verse 17 of Ruth, the first chapter. Where you die, I will die. And where you're buried, come on. I mean, that's a commitment. Where you're buried, the Lord do so to me, and more so, if anything but death parts you and me. Man, that's a commitment, my friends. A commitment is so important. A commitment isn't just a passive thought, isn't a suggestion, isn't something that you just, you know, do today and forget a couple of weeks or a month from now. A commitment is a commitment. God looks for people who make commitment, and listen to these words, and stays with those commitment. I can't tell you how many people come through Christendom, come to church, get saved, get excited, get their lives changed, be touched by God, and a few months later, you never see them again. Tens of thousands of people here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. I used to think it was my fault. It's not my fault. It's their lack of commitment to the things of God. They're like a leaf in the wind when the trials and the pressures come. The commitment is rocked. When the winds of life blow, their commitment is rocked. When things don't go their way, when the report from the doctor comes and it's not a good one, when their kids go south, guess what? All of a sudden their commitment now is shaken and they're no longer there. But a commitment with somebody who's going to stay in there and be committed is what this is really all about. It's just like anything in life. Without a commitment, all we have is a bunch of hot air. And hot air will get you to float around a while, but it won't get you to where you need to be. And God's looking for somebody with an amazing commitment. There's these two prophets in the Old Testament. It's kind of funny names. One's Elijah, and his, if you will, protege is named Elisha. One's Elijah and one's Elisha. And Elisha is committed to Elijah, the older prophet. And he makes this statement, God's about ready to take Elijah to heaven. And so the prophet that's the old prophet Elijah says to the young prophet Elisha, I want you to stay here And Elijah, the young prophet, says, no way. Wherever you go, I'm going, I'm staying with you. You're not going to separate from me. If God takes you up, I'm going to watch you go. And he makes this statement in 2 Kings, the second chapter, verse number 2. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay in here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. My friends, without a commitment, you don't really have a life. You're like a leaf in the wind. You're here today and blown around. If there's anything the church is crying out for, people that are committed, people that you can trust, people that you know. And if the church is looking for people that way, how much more is Jesus looking for a stable person that you know you can count on them, that they're going to be there when the winds of life and the problems fall? There's every one of us in here going to have problems from time to time. You're going to be faced with trials and tribulations and evil temptations. I don't care how good a Christian you are, how nice you are. I want you to know that you're going to find yourself in a place where the winds of life are going to blow against you and going to challenge your faith, going to challenge your marriage, going to challenge your relationship with God, going to challenge everything, your job, your business, your future. It's going to challenge your decision-making process for the past. You will be challenged, because I want you to know this. Before you enter into any promised land, there will always be giants in the land that want to stop you and challenge you. And you're going to have to push through the valley of the shadow of death and come out on the other side. And that's called commitment, my friends. It's not just an occasional thought. It's not trying God. It's someone who is committed to God. And God's looking for someone who's committed to him. God, this is the way it is. I don't care what the world does. I don't care what my friends do. I don't care how they act or what they say or what they do. I don't care about what goes on. I'm going on with God. That's the way I'm going. And you're committed to that. The thing that showed me the most about Ruth, if you will, was this last one, because we're looking at a path for us to follow for life, to make choices, a path to look for. Number one is wise choices. Look for that. Look for a commitment towards it. But this is my favorite one. Number three, her loyalty. Loyalty means this: boy, I'm in it for the long run, no matter what. We have loyalty today when things go well. But when things don't go well, we bail out. Or we put loyalty down for a certain period of time. I'll be loyal for 5 years, I was loyal. But now I'm no longer loyal. You guess what? If you don't, loyalty starts and has a finish. But there's no date for the finish. When Jesus comes, that's the end of your loyalty. And loyalty doesn't even begin until there's pressure in the relationship. Let me say it again. Loyalty doesn't even begin until there's pressure in a relationship. Without the pressure in a relationship, there is no loyalty. And I want you to know, anybody can be loyal when things are going good. Anybody can be loyal when their things are going right. Anybody can be loyal when there's money in your pocket and everything you think is going. But let me tell you something. When toughest times come, that's when your loyalty will be tested. And a lot of people don't understand that. Loyalty doesn't even start until tough times come. Are you following me? Because without it, it just doesn't work. Jesus is a great example of loyal, says these words in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse number 5. Listen to the words. He says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's loyalty. That's what I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Boy, if there's anybody we can put an example to, it's got to be Jesus. And if he's that way and he's making it, let me tell you something. There's been some times in my life when I wouldn't blame him a bit for leaving. But he says, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. There's times when I thought for sure, you ought to forsake me, God. I'm just down and out. But he hasn't. And that's what makes him God. He's so loyal. And he's always looking for somebody who will be loyal also with him. My friends, three things tonight that are simple things as you choose a path for your life. Number one, will you use a wise choices to select them? It's not always how you feel or what you think or logic. Sometimes it's oftentimes contrary to your logic. Number two, will there be commitment that stays there, that's going to hold on, keep on going? A commitment that nobody's going to break, the commitment. And then three, a loyalty during times of great pressure. Will you stay the course? Will you remain loyal to your commitment? Or are you a person that's only going to be loyal as long as things go your way? I tell you what, it's an amazing thing to see this lady, if you will, who becomes in the bloodline of Jesus. In the bloodline of Jesus. That's the amazing part of Ruth. All because your God will be my God. If God spoke to you today, come on, give the Lord a great big praise. We do that.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.